Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
It's been a phenomenal 1 hour and 45 minutes so far as we've been taking a look at the various themes that influence our spending as South Africans. And we set the tone in conversation around AutoZone. As you know, it's a business that sells automobile parts and finishings and has actually gone into voluntary business rescue. There is likelihood in survival of the business might take place, but they need to manage their debts, pay them accordingly, and of course restructure their business in a way that will make sense. That in itself spoke to the trends we're seeing within the vehicle space in South Africa. And what's quite clear is that almost half of us are driving vehicles that are older than 5 years. At best, even 10 years. Why? Because purchasing a brand new vehicle right now is rather costly. And if you are able to actually purchase one, that's where you need to be a little bit more mindful of the kind of financing structure that you put in place. And all of this takes us down to a particular theme. The fact that as shoppers, as buyers, as customers and consumers in South Africa, our behaviors have changed and evolved. Not only in terms of understanding what looks like great value, how do you look to get great value, but I guess even in terms of the kind of shopping that we're participating in. Whether it's a big ticket item like a car, or maybe just going into a retail store and being a lot more critical about the loyalty points, the discounts, the kind of product that you're able to buy, and where you would be able to purchase it at a rate of convenience. Someone who knows all about this is Andrea Ellens, retail industry specialist at Trade Intelligence. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Ms. Ellens. I'm hoping I've pronounced your first name correctly, Andrea or Andrea?
Yeah, no, Andrea is absolutely fine. I answer to both.
Thank you so much for that, Andrea. I guess an intriguing theme that I've also set the evolution of shopping behavior. Given that there's a myriad of factors, I'm keen that you can just give us, you know, a quick overview as to how as South Africans we've become a lot more, I guess, keen and active and discerning when it comes to our shopping activity.
Yeah, the term I use often, or Trade Intelligence uses, we talk about savvy. Yes. I think South African shoppers have become increasingly more savvy, and they've been driven to be more savvy for a number of factors. And I think the primary factor, and we can all relate to this, is the inflation that we've been faced with. So over the last 3 years, if we look at just up until March data this year, we saw an 8.5% inflation on food. The year before, we saw 11% inflation on food. And the year before that, we saw almost a 9% inflation. So if you bundle those up, it was 20% 2 years ago, plus another 8.5%. So, you know, if you just think about your personal shopping basket and how much more it costs every time you go into the shop. And that in turn has made us all go, oh my word, I can't afford that. So what do I do? So how do I change my shopping behavior? And so we at Trade Intelligence went out and we do surveys every year. But this year specifically, we went and spoke to 1,200 shoppers and asked them, what are they doing differently? Ooh. And there are a couple things that they're doing differently. So one is people are buying on promotions. So they are looking for those deals wherever they go. They are shopping around at different retailers. So, you know, 10 or 20 years ago, your mother or your aunt or whatever used to shop at one retailer primarily. Now we're seeing shoppers shopping between 3 and 5 retailers. Mm-hmm. And really they're shopping for the promotions.
That is so true. I actually used to think that this is something our mothers used to do, right? When they pick up the tray of chicken or whatever product it is, compare the price to another. And even if there's a rand difference, they take the cheaper option. But I'm assuming this is right across the spectrum, right? And of course, not absolutely. Only in terms of age group, gender, but also the products that we're doing price comparisons on.
The products we're doing price comparisons. And also I think, you know, depending on the category, you know, I think I spoke to you recently about liquor. You know, people are trading down from premium spirits into cheaper spirits, or they're trading out of spirits into beer, or bottled wine into box wine. You know, people are happy to pay a premium for quality, especially around freshness. So fresh, you know, fruit and veg, they're looking for quality and not the cheapest price. They're looking at quality at a good price. So, I mean, shoppers are not daft. I mean, they know what good quality is and they know what they are happy to pay for. But, you know, when their wallets are super stretched, they are looking to do things differently. So in very stretched wallets, they're buying, say, one product to do multiple tasks. So, for example, there's a product, you know, like a cleaning product, like I've forgotten the name of it.
Not pine gel, the cleaning product?
Pine gel.
Yes.
People are using pine gel to clean their toilet and to clean a surface.
Yeah.
They're using that product to do multiple things, whereas maybe 5 years ago they had
product.
And then we're seeing two different types of behavior around size of products. So, for example, when people can buy in bulk and they can get a better price per unit, they will do that. Mm. If they can afford it, and they might split it with family and friends or do mini stock fills. But then, you know, for example, on baked beans, the baked bean manufacturers have brought out smaller baked beans at a lower price point, and those are doing really well because people literally can't afford anything more. And ShopRite has done some great deals where they've got 5 rand bread or really, really cheap deli meals just to help out those, you know, really stretched income groups, you know, people that earn less than 5,000 rand a month to be able to feed themselves.
I find this so intriguing because it almost seems as though there's a solution that's been provided at every income level. What I'm keen to understand, though, is if people are using, as you've mentioned, loyalty points, discounts, cashbacks, whatever they might be called in terms of the various rewards programs.
So in this shopper research we did, we actually were fascinated by that and went out specifically to ask people about reward cards or loyalty cards. And we found something very interesting. So when you ask shoppers, do they belong to loyalty programs and do the loyalty programs make them more loyal to that retailer? And they said to us, absolutely yes. But then when you dig and scratch a little bit deeper, it turns out that these people all have at least 3 or 4 loyalty programs,
right, or
if not more. Okay, I'm talking specifically retailers.
Okay.
But you might have more other, you might have a BP card or a Shell card as well. But I'm just talking about the retailers. But actually, if you look at, let's say you have a ShopRite extra savings card, 76% of those will also have a Pick and Pay shopper card and a Spa rewards card.
Mm.
So actually, that's not the true definition of loyalty, but they are leveraging those cards for the rewards, the benefits.
You put it
so they think they are loyal, but they're not actually behaving in a loyal way. They're behaving. Does that make sense? Am I explaining myself well enough?
I always draw the analogy with relationships, and you're quite right. It's like having a boyfriend for everything, and which is not sustainable.
Exactly.
As you say, it's not loyal, but you are certainly reaping the benefits that you require, whether it's emotional security, career security, I don't know, financial security, or someone that you can have fun with versus other things. And it really brings about a very interesting perspective that clearly then we're not chasing loyalty. What we're chasing is a good bank for
rewards
and being savvy.
Savvy. And it comes back to that savviness. You know, we're shopping around, we're getting the best points, we're looking for the promotions, we're buying in bulk when we can afford to buy in bulk, or we're buying the smaller packs because that's all we can afford. We are following retailers on social media. And also, bear in mind, the shopping behavior differs by your generation. So, you know, generation X is definitely shopping different to Generation Z versus the boomers, you know. So the younger generation, which is Generation Z, so 15 to 27-year-olds, mm-hmm. they make up sort of 20% of the shoppers. You know, their shopping behavior is very different to someone like myself, who's a Generation X. So because they're looking at social media influencers, play more of an impact on them and where they shop. They say they don't use loyalty cards or reward cards as much. They'll probably progress into that as they mature. Mm. Look, there's, you know, percentage of them are doing the grocery shop, but it's not their highest priority. You know, they're much more interested in buying the coolest sneakers out there.
Makes sense. I think that's
it's interesting to pull the differences out.
And I'm assuming, as you say, much older generations are prioritizing the basics in terms of consumer goods, the cleaning items, and of course, perhaps products that are more directed to a household and a family unit, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And also, you know, you have different demands on your income as you get older. So, you know, older generations are having to pay school fees and bonds and medical expenses, whereas a younger person, you know, you've got obviously, you know, your rent and utilities, but food is number three or four. And, you know, rent is just, it's not equivalent to a bond type of thing.
Gotcha.
But they have different attitudes. I mean, I think also the other thing with shopper behavior, and this is where Trade Intelligence offers bespoke research. So if you're a company that produces types of biscuits, the shopper behavior in the biscuit category is very different. How you buy biscuits is very different to how you buy pet food, for example. So, you know, we'll do specific research for someone going, well, how does a shopper shop the biscuit aisle versus how do they shop the tea and coffee aisle? So, you know, we've obviously got general insights about like the general behavior, like, you know, what are they looking for promotions, how they choose the retailer, what are they looking for from a value, service, convenience perspective. But when you drill down into the categories, we always say to our clients, look, it's better to us to go and do a specific research into that.
This is so interesting. So I wouldn't be in the pet aisle because I don't have pets. And even if I was, I'm not sure if I would I'd probably prioritize the highest quality, right? To take care of your pet versus if you're looking for a sugary treat. But then again, I do have a sweet tooth. So I still buy my favorite biscuits. But I think this is so intriguing because then that helps us determine, you know, how we interpret value, which products we prefer, and what we lean towards in terms of our preferences. Andrea, I could talk to you all night.
Thank you. It's always lovely to be on your show.
Always fantastic speaking to you. And thank you. You've given me a talking point for the next dinner table discussion or braai.
Go for it.
We'll definitely sound a lot smarter after speaking to you. Thank you again.
All right.
Thank you.
Cheers.
That's Andrea Ellens, retail industry specialist at Trade Intelligence.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.